Oh, yes. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. For me, it's Friday. So TGIF to Joe Beamer. To everyone else, happy hump day. Hope you're having a nice start to it. What a just exciting way to walk outside this morning. It was nice. It was warm for October. I walked outside in shorts and a t-shirt to walk my dog. I walked the dog before even dressing for work. It was so comfortable. It was so, what's the word I'm looking for? It was just, I wanted to stay outside. Like, if it was able to, I wish the studio had a retractable roof on it. Because I think this morning would have been nice hosting or running the board with the roof. I think that, you know, next time we get a new studio, Odyssey, maybe, you know, since the Bills didn't do it, we should look into a retractable roof. I think that would be a fun way to do some shows. But hopefully you're able to enjoy the weather yesterday, or maybe you're going to enjoy it today, or maybe tomorrow at the Bills game, which is exciting, right? It's probably going to be the last warm game of the season. You never know. You get those random weeks in December, but could be the final warm game, home game of the season for the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm going to say this. I don't want it to be warm when the Cowboys come to town. So I'm fine for it to be cold when the Cowboys get here in December. Just saying. Last night, you heard it here live on News Radio 930 WB. I should say, we're going to talk about two different things, two completely different things, but I want to throw them both out there. Because I'm hoping to generate some calls and some texts. So let's start with the debate last night. You heard it here live on News Radio 930 WBEN, hosted by our friends over at Channel 4. And it was the final debate between the county executive and the county executive's opponent, Chrissy Cassilio. I do think this debate got a little more, the gloves came off, as they want to say, a little more in the debate that we heard last night. Again, do you believe the needle was pushed one way or the other? I don't. I really don't think, again, I think if you're looking at Erie County and you're a Republican, you're playing from behind, right? I mean, that's just how it is in Erie County politics in 2023. I'm not sure there was enough there to move the needle for the Cassilio campaign. But you know what? It gives me a lot of stuff to work with this Sunday. Oh, yes. You know I'm going to promo. This is my last day of work before Sunday. So I'm going to promo it. Hardline, both candidates in studio. Not together. I would have loved to have a hardline debate. But we have both candidates in studio an hour each this Sunday at 10 o'clock. So this gives you the opportunity. You've now heard two debates, both here on WBEN. And you've gotten to hear the answer and how certain topics are approached by the candidates. What would you like to hear that you haven't? Or what would you like to have the candidates get an opportunity to give more information on? 803-0930, star 930. That's your number to join me this morning. And I think that the way Chrissy Cassilio handled the Bills question, I thought that was great, right? Say yes. I'm glad that the county executive was able to work with the state and with the Pagulas to get a stadium. I think most people who live in Western New York would agree with that deal. But then say yes. I mean, where is the proof that the Buffalo Bills were ever going to leave Buffalo? Where is that proof? Why does the county executive keep on saying that? That the Pagulas, who own the Buffalo Sabres, by the way, were going to move the Buffalo Bills out of Buffalo. Where's the evidence of that? Because I'm sorry saying, well, the Chargers and Raiders moved. Yes, The Chargers moved to LA. The Raiders moved to Vegas. By the way, the Raiders have moved like five times in team history. So I don't know if we use that as an example. St. Louis, well, the owner wanted to move the Rams back to Los Angeles as soon as he bought the team. And he used the stadium as an excuse to move it. Terry Pegula bought the Bills to secure them in Buffalo. So I think the notion, I think it's kind of offensive, the notion that he was going to move the Bills again, and that's where I would press it. And yes, why does everything have to be so secretive? I thought that was a great point brought up by Christy Cassilio. Why does everything have to be so secretive with this with this administration? Right, everything's done behind closed doors. And you know, the county executive, and I will ask him this on Sunday. He said, "Well, the legislature knew what was going on." That is not true. We heard it on Hardline. I had members of the legislature say they don't know where we stand on the Bill Stadium. They don't know where we are. And that was during the negotiations. So the door was closed on everyone other than those who were involved. And again, okay, you don't want to give away your negotiation tactics. I'll even go along with you on that. But why weren't other members of Erie County government, like the legislature, clued in on what the hell was going on? I think that's a good question. And that will be something that I ask him on Sunday. What else would you like to hear me ask the county executive, Christy Cassilio, or both? 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Also, do you think the needle was moved in this election? Do you think anything could move the needle in this election that hasn't already been done? Right? August, I think anyone who follows politics would say August was a rough month for the county executive. Did these debates do anything to put Cassilio ahead of the county executive? I'd say no. And again, I've said numerous times that nothing against Christy Cassilio, nothing against the process. But again, in a four, when you have the county executive running for a fourth term, is this the election to run a political newcomer? There are a lot of recognizable names in the Republican Party in Erie County. Was this the election to run a political newcomer? That's the question I've been asking, right? And again, not to say that Christy Cassilio can't do it. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that she can't win. I'm not saying that she won't have a bright future ahead in politics. I'm just saying in this election with this county executive, would the Republican Party have been better running a known name against someone who, and I can't remember who used the term, but someone who might be getting stale, right? He's been in office a long time. He's running for a fourth term as county executive. And also, Chris Rivada's asked the question, and I think it's something you definitely double down on. If Brian Higgins, Congressman Brian Higgins, announced November 8th that he is not running for re-election of Congress, are you telling me, Mark Poloncarz, that you will not go and run for that seat? That you have said that you are going to serve out your term, and no matter what, you're going to serve out your term. If the day after Election Day, Brian Higgins says, I am not running for re-election, let's say that Mark Poloncarz was reelected. I really think that I'm going to definitely double down on that because I want to know. And I think the voters of Erie County should know. Are you saying 100% you're not going to run for Congress? Because when you've been in politics that long, again, this is just me on the outside looking in. I could be completely wrong here. I am not one to ever want to be in politics, right? I did my political work in college when I was on student government. So I don't ever want to get into politics, right? If you could tell, I talk about politics less and less. But if I'm going to be in politics as long as the county executive, and this is exactly how I'll set up the question, which I probably shouldn't give it away this many days in front, but I'm going to. This, you've been in politics this long. Obviously, there's a next goal, right? You've been the county executive for three terms, could be four, if you get reelected. Are you saying the next step isn't something like Congress? Isn't something like Albany, right? What is the next step in that political ladder that you are seemingly attempting to climb? 803-0930, star 930. What do you think? What should be asked? What did you think of the debate last night? Was there something that you were surprised was brought up? Is there something that you were surprised wasn't brought up? You know, we've been running the story on the gas tax. Were you surprised that that wasn't an issue at the debate last night? Do you think COVID is getting enough attention at these debates? And again, I think anyone who was in power during the COVID pandemic has questions to answer. And that's including former President Trump, by the way. I know that might not be a popular opinion with many people, but, you know, he was the president during the beginning of the lockdowns. He encouraged lockdowns. I think he needs to know as many, he deserves to have as many questions asked as Mark Poloncarz does. But I also think you should answer for what you supported during the pandemic, and would you do it again? If COVID numbers started going up, and again, I realize a lot of things were put on the state level, but the county executive did close down parts of Erie County due to COVID numbers in 2021. Would he stick by that? Would he stick by vaccine mandates at an open air stadium? I think those are fair questions. Because it never made sense to me in an open air stadium to have any kind of mandates. Yeah, my whole thing was in 2020 that you would want people out in the open air, right? I mean, that's how some restaurants were the only way they were allowed to be open. So 803-0930, *930 is the number. If you want to get on, what is something that was addressed? What is something that you'd like to hear addressed? Again, both candidates this Sunday on Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN. And what is something that maybe you want just a little more information on? And do you think the needle was moved at all? For this election, we've had two debates. Do you think anything is different after the two debates than it was before the two debates? I'll give you a very simple answer. I don't. I think whatever polls were looking like before the St. Joe's debate, they are looking like after the Channel 4 debate. I don't think the needle has moved enough or at all. I shouldn't have said enough. I meant at all. And again, I think anyone running as a Republican in Erie County, it's an uphill battle. But you are running against someone who is going for a fourth term, someone who might seem stale to the voters. Again, that is why, personally, I think in this situation, in this election, maybe you go with a more recognizable name. Again, we'll see what happens on election day. That's my opinion. What do you think? John is on line two. John, thanks for calling in. Can we pot the phones up, guys? Sorry about that. John, thanks for joining the show.
Okay, am I on the air now?
You are on the air now. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I was talking. Yeah, the question is, are they smart enough to vote for the right person for the right reasons? Or are they not sick enough of their circumstances? Or are they just very comfortable with the way things are, just unaware and sleeping? When I heard the female politician, what's her name, Castillo?
Chrissy Castillo, yes.
Yeah. When I heard her say, well, we're going to basically deport the illegals, her adversary said, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. Well, it may cost a little today, but it'll cost more tomorrow. Just like if you don't get insurance on your vehicle and you crash, it'll cost you more out of pocket later. Or if you don't buy a canoe with life-saving devices or a jacket or a high-quality parachute made in USA, Germany, England, instead of parachute made in China, you could end up worse off. With a gift that keeps on giving social assistance to all of those illegals who make babies for a living at your expense when you don't end up in a buyer's market where rent's going to go up because it's cold in the winter. You got nowhere to go, but you got your taxes through Biden paying for these people to go on a worldwide tour from here to there by plane, getting a stipend of, they're hoping $500,000 per person. They're trying to act like Tops never stops giving them more. Giving them more, Tops never stops. We don't want to keep on giving them more money. They shouldn't even be here or anywhere. If this Buffaloni is smart enough, you're going to end up finding out only after you're burnt and cooked like on Thanksgiving Day or after Thanksgiving Day, like a turkey, like a sucker.
All right, John, I will say this. I did think it was interesting when the county executive said, you know, we don't base on where people come from on their race. And again, I think that was an opportunity to speak up and say, well, that's not what's going on here. No one's judging anyone by where they come from, what their race is. What people are saying is, are these people here legally? Have they been properly vetted? That's the question. It has nothing to do with race. Has nothing to do with where people come from, right? The United States of America is a welcoming country, but we have a legal process into this country that it's not being followed, by the way. It's not being followed. We've had over 3 million people rush over our borders in the last year. So it's not being followed. And here's the thing. Again, the county executive trying to make this a race issue or, you know, where people come from. That's not it at all. It's, are these people legally here? Have they been properly vetted? And I think that is a topic. And again, I think this is a topic that that really resonates with voters. Again, does it resonate with enough voters? That is what we are going to learn on Election Day. Kevin in Pendleton. Kevin, thanks for hanging on.
Well, I'll tell you something that might shock you. Most people think that I'm a political junkie. And, you know, I don't miss anything politically. I didn't have to watch a debate yesterday. And thank you, WBEN, for the little excerpts that you played. It summed it all up for me. And she didn't... you can tell me if she retorted to an answer from Mark Poloncarz. You remember when Mrs. Castillo said, and again, that's from your replay you played, your excerpt from the debate, where she stated that she is going to sue the federal government, and then she's going to, you know, get every one of them sent back to New York City. Well, first of all, that's like an oxymoron to me, because they send them back to New York City. Guess what? We, upstate New York, we still are part of the pool of taxpayers who still will be paying for that. So that's number one. But two, Mark Poloncarz said something, and I don't know if anybody catch it. He said, but that's going to cost more than what it's costing us now. Didn't Mark Poloncarz say that the illegal aliens is going to cost us nothing, and New York City is going to foot the bill?
Kevin, I caught that myself. He said it's costing us nothing now, and then you're right. He said it will cost us more to do what Chrissy Castillo proposed to do. Yeah, I thought that was something that wasn't caught, and I was surprised that no one at the debate followed up on it. But Kevin, rest assured, we will follow up on it Sunday morning.
Oh, one more thing, Joe, before I leave you. But again, but there's a bigger picture here that David brought up yesterday. You see, as far as elections are concerned. One, you know that Kathy Hochul, when the people spoke by the ballot and said we did not want this, you know, ballot initiative, you know, where they just send ballots out, whether you're alive or not, or whether you're registered or not, and they're sending ballots out. I don't see Castillo with these absentee ballots and all these ballots that be going out, that the Republicans, her campaign, or anybody is doing anything to address that. And as a matter of fact, I blame that the previous GOP chair for Erie County and then eventually state, and now he's a congressman, and I blame the Republican leadership into getting us where we are now. And I don't see how they're going to win this race where they're fighting with one hand tied behind their back, you know, with this absentee ballot initiative that Kathy Hochul has gone behind the backs of the, you know, the people. And it was just decided by the Democrats that this is going to be a permanent thing. Same day registration and all that nonsense. I'm sorry, Joe, we in a bad situation here.
And Kevin, as you mentioned, why did we turn our ballots over and vote? Because obviously our opinion meant nothing. I mean, that's something that a majority of New Yorkers agreed on. And, you know, last time I checked, the majority of New Yorkers are Democrats. But hey, we actually agreed on voting against that. And they found a way to go around what the people asked for in New York State, Kevin. I think that's a good point. Appreciate the call. 803-0930, star 930. Again, why did we flip our ballots over? Why would we flip our ballots over to vote if you're not going to respect the vote. I've been told that, you know, elections, we respect the voters. New York State did not do it when it came to that question. So why even put it on there? Why even play this game, right? Why play this game if you're not going to listen to what the voters said? Why? Because you thought you were going to get your way, and you didn't. Because believe it or not, that is something that Republicans and actually some Democrats agree on, right? That's something they actually agree on, and it was proven when we flipped our ballots over and answered those questions a few years ago. All right, 803-0930, star 930. I will continue taking points on this, but I have something else that I have to bring up. This is my last day here for the week, and there is a ridiculous list going around on social media. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm going to read off this list, and I want your input at 803-0930. So I will continue taking debate questions, but I've got something I have to bring to you before 10 o'clock here on WBEN. Hey, welcome back. B-Maz and Beamer, Joe Beamer with you on this Wednesday hump day. Brian is off. He'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be gone tomorrow. So I know for a lot of you, you're like, oh, thank God. No Joe Beamer for the rest of the week. I know. That's fine. You can celebrate. Just like I think a lot of people are celebrating. Did you see this? Chris Mad Dog Russo said that he would retire if the Arizona Diamondbacks won Game 7 of the World Series, of the NLCS. Well, guess what? The Diamondbacks won Game 7 of the NLCS. It'll be interesting if he sticks to his on-air promise. Yeah, I'm not a fan of making promises like that, career-altering promises over the result of something. Like, I don't think I'll ever get to that. But we'll see. Will he actually keep his promise? I guess we'll find out as the day goes on. Okay. Now, we'll get back to your calls, okay? And I'm sure this topic will continue through the day. But I have to get to this list. Like I said, I'm not in for the rest of the week. I can't hold this till tomorrow. This is a list going around on social media. It's gone what they call viral, as the kids say. A list of places women absolutely refuse to go on the first date to is the list, okay? This is a list. I disagree with most of the places on this list, including number 26. So on this list, we have the Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, Chili's, Chipotle, Olive Garden. You know, in some towns, okay, we're lucky here in Buffalo that we have great food, great local food, but in some towns, Cheesecake Factory is actually like a classy place, right? That's a step up. Chili's is a fun hangout spot. I actually think Chili's is a fun hangout spot in Buffalo. But Chili's is a fun hangout spot. To say that you refuse to go on a first date to a Chili's or to an Applebee's, you go on down this list. I can see not taking someone on a first date to Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, I did take someone on a first date to Buffalo Wild Wings once. Obviously, nothing happened. I think we might have gone on a second date, but that was it. It was no long-term relationship. But we all make mistakes. I agree. You shouldn't take someone to a buffet for a first date. All right? I will agree with that on the list. But, you know, coffee dates? Why not? Ice cream dates? I mean, again, we're talking first dates. Some people like a quick first date, right? Like, hey, how you doing? See if the person can actually hold a conversation. I think a coffee date is great. You just have to get through the cup of coffee. And guess what? Guess what? If it's going well, you order a Danish, right? So I completely disagree being against coffee dates or ice cream dates. Again, some people want to see if they can actually spend a full date with you. More than just the coffee. Now, number 26 I thought was interesting. Number 26, a bar just for drinks. I know that's not true because that was what my wife and I did in our first date. We went to two bars just for drinks. And again, she was taking a risk, right? She was taking a risk going just to a bar because now you actually have to hold a conversation. And she has to hope... that the guy she's going on a date with me can hold a conversation. She learned very quickly that I can literally have a conversation with myself. But, obviously it worked out for us. We're married now. So I don't understand why a bar just for drinks. Now, that can also go terribly wrong, right? I think I've told this story. I went on a date with so this is like 13, 14 years ago. Well, it had to been for at least it had to be at the most 14 years ago, because 15 years ago I couldn't drink at a bar. So I think it was 13 or 14 years ago. Went to a bar for drinks. I thought things were going well, and I didn't pick up on the social cue of no, I won't. When the bartender said any more drinks, and my date said no. And of course, me being the idiot that I am, said, "Yeah, I'll have another drink." And then awkwardly had to sit there while my date did not have a drink, not realizing, okay, this isn't going as well as I thought it was going. Obviously, there was no second date. I'm going to read off this place of allegedly a list of places women absolutely refuse to go on a first date. Again, I think this list, for the most part, is bogus. Cheesecake Factory's number one. Applebee's number two. Chili's, Chipotle, Olive Garden. The movies, I will agree, the movies is not a great first date. What are you learning about the person at the movies except for what kind of movies they like? And do they, again, if my wife and I went on a movie first date and it was a comedy and she heard how I laugh at the movie theater, we might not have had a second date, right? I think the movies is an awful first date. I mean, that's when you're more of an established couple. Because, again, what are you learning about this other person at the movies? Your house? Well, obviously. Your house is not... Hey, nice meeting you. You want to have dinner at my place? Yeah. Your house is not a good place to have the first date. It brings up an interesting question. After how many dates is it acceptable to say, would you like to have dinner at my place? Could I make dinner? How many dates is that? I think that's a different number for everybody. But I think most people would agree, you're not inviting someone over to your house for a first date. Any fast food chain, again, I think that depends on where you are in America, right? If you're in some rural spot and a McDonald's is really the town center, then that might be more appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is written by someone who's thinks they're a little too good and more of a setting where there's a lot of stuff. A fast food chain in a small town, again, that might be appropriate. So I think that's wrong to say. Buffalo Wild Wings, yes, my experience wasn't great. But again, first date, maybe you're going on a first date with a huge sports fan and your first date is to go out and watch that team. I don't think that's a bad first date. Now, my wife and I are not on the same level of sports fandom, so that would have been a bad first date for us. But if it's someone you met, maybe at a game, right? If you met someone at a game and then you wanted to go out to watch the game, I don't think that's as bad. Wingstop, I feel the same. Red Lobster, again, I think this is all about where in the country you are. Regionally, Red Lobster might be the nicest place in your town. Right? That goes the same for Olive Garden. Again, if you're in some, I don't want to pick on Elmira, but if you're in Elmira, Red Lobster Olive Garden might be a really nice place to take someone on a first date. Again, no offense to Elmira. I'm just saying my experience there, maybe Red Lobster or Olive Garden's the place to take a first date. I agree. A buffet, no. IHOP, maybe you both work overnight and you want to do breakfast as a first date. IHOP, Denny's could be acceptable. The gym, maybe you're just two really in shape people and you met at a 5K. And maybe your first date is the gym. You can have a nice discussion over weights. I don't think that's awful. Church, again, maybe you're both very religious. You want to find someone who has the same belief system, has the same dedication to going to church. I don't think church is an awful first date. I would put that similar to the movies, though. How much are you learning of this person? Because, don't be the person who continuously talks or writes notes to each other at church. You're there at church. You're there to pray. You're there to listen to the message. So there's that. Starbucks coffee dates, ice cream dates. Again, I think if you want a quick date, you want to learn about somebody, you don't want to commit to a full date. Nothing wrong with that. Family functions, of course. You're not bringing someone on a family function to a first date. How awkward would that be? Movie night, that kind of goes like your house, right? Same thing. Somewhere that requires a long drive. Again, regionally, who knows where you live? You might live in the middle of nowhere. Anything would require a long drive. Bowling, I think bowling's a great first date when you're a teenager or in your early 20s. Nightclubs, completely agree. Just like the movies, what are you learning about the person? Hookah bar, again, if that's your thing. A bar for drinks, I think is a great first date. Worked out for my wife and I. Waffle House, again, Waffle House, 24 hours, depends when you're making the date. Maybe works out. Sports events, I think a sport event can be a great first date. I've told this story on the air before. I took someone to a Sabres game when I was in college, and I thought we were going on a first date. Like, I thought it was a date. Right? Have you ever had this happen before? I thought we were going on a date. I took a young lady to a Sabres game. Again, this is in college. Very quickly in the first period, I found out that she did not believe this was a date. Right? She was not under the same impression that we were on a date. And then I didn't want to make it awkward. So but inside I was feeling very awkward. I think I covered it up very well. Right? I think I did. But it was very disappointing because I thought this was a first date. I thought, she's interested in me. I'm interested in her. It did not work out that way. But I don't think a sports event's an automatic no for first date places. So there you go. I think the list, for the most part, yeah, there's four places on there I would agree with. But everything else, again, I think it just depends on, number one, where you are, what kind of people you are. Again, if you're rabid sports fans, why is a sports bar an awful idea for a first date? Why is a sporting event an awful idea for a first date? When I was single and a Bill season ticket holder, I'm married now, but still a Bill season ticket holder. When I was single and a Bill season ticket holder, I used to ask all the time, hey, would you like to, go to the Bills game with me? I don't think I ever took someone to a Bills game on a date at all. No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess, I've taken my wife to games, but I'm not sure that was a date. When do they stop being dates and just we're always together? Right? I don't know. But again, if you're judging, like, hey, this person, I met this person, they seem really cool, but they want to take me to Applebee's. Okay. They want to take you out for half price appetizers. And why not? It's a first date. I mean, are you taking someone to the Chop House on the first date? I don't think so. You're not taking someone to Buffalo Chop House on the first date. I'm not going to Russell's on the first date. I want to know if there's any future with this person. Russell's might be, a good, I'm not even sure it's a good second date. I'm not sure how many dates you go on before, you go to a Russell's. But I'm not taking you to a steakhouse on the first date. I think Applebee's, Chili's. Again, I have some favorite local bars. Ice skating in from the control room. I think ice skating is a perfect first date. I think anything where you can talk to each other. Again, I know that's such a foreign concept to a lot of people my age and younger, but something where you can communicate, you can learn about each other, right? Because there's nothing worse, and I'm sure almost anyone listening to me has had this experience on a first date. There's nothing worse than when you're on a date with somebody and they refuse to make eye contact with you. Like, I am trying to talk to you. I'm trying to get to know you. And you are looking at literally everything else in the room except for me. Again, that's a turnoff. I'm happy I don't have to worry about that. Hopefully, my wife doesn't decide to get a divorce. I'm happy I don't have to go through that, because dating, it can take a lot out of you. I mean, you remember my early days here at WBEN. I remember David Bellavia and I did an hour where David was asking me a bunch of questions and things that we can, we can work on. It takes a lot out of you. It's exhausting going through that dating process. And, especially when you get into your mid-20s to late 20s and your friends are all getting married or, are engaged. And, your big thing is, there's a whole day of college football and I just want to sit here by myself and watch it. I mean, that's still the case at 35 and married. But, It is exhausting at times. And now you have to put up with this list. And, you have to wonder, is this first date with someone who helped make this list? Like, I thought going to Spot Coffee and getting a cup of coffee was a fine idea for a first date. Grab some coffee, get to know each other. Apparently not. Number 18 on this list. So I, minus four places, completely disagree with the list. And I had to share that with you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. my first date with my now wife was Ruby Tuesdays. then went to the Galleria Mall, sat on a bench and talked, and people watched. This date, we still love to sit on a bench, and people watched. Yes, and I love Ruby Tuesdays. I'm actually really sad that Ruby Tuesdays is no longer in Buffalo. I thought they had a great salad bar. But yeah, see? Now, I'm sure Ruby Tuesdays, I'm surprised Ruby Tuesdays is not on this list. Someone said, I remember the stories of you crying out in the parking lot. Yes. We all, I don't know, the guys in the other room, they're new. They might not know this story, but fellas, years ago, when I was part-time here at the station, I worked a Sunday shift, okay? And I was dating someone, and we were going to a Bisons game. So she was going to meet me here after running Randy Buschover's morning show and Hardline, which is now a show that I host. I used to produce it. So we met here, and we went to the Bisons game with a few friends, and everything seemingly was going fine. Come back here to take her to her car, dumps me in the parking lot. Yes, after the day out. Like, you'd think, maybe dump me before we spend a whole day out together. Dumps me in the, at the time, Intercom parking lot, now Odyssey parking lot. It is a fun story of mine to tell now looking back on it. Obviously, very happy that she did. Fun story to tell on the air now, but that is one that has definitely stuck with people. Yes, getting dumped in the Intercom parking lot. It was also the person, I tell this story, lesson to anybody who's still in the dating world. Valentine's Day, if you spend a ton of money and all they do is write, is give you a card where they wrote no message. Again, money, material things, not important. But you go into all this work, all this thought, you write a nice thoughtful card with, you know, a few gifts, and they give you a card with just their name written on it. They're not that into you. I did not learn that case. A few months later, I got dumped in the Intercom parking lot. So just a word of the wise. I'm glad I got to share that because everyone else listening has heard that story repeatedly over and over again. I talk about it every Valentine's Day as a lesson. Hey, don't be blinded. Make sure they love you as much as you love them. Don't be blinded by just your love. Like I said, I always say this. The first Valentine's Day with my wife, I knew right then and there, right? I mean, she wrote this card. I still have it to this day. It was, you know, a paragraph long. She's a teacher. She can write better than I can. She wrote a ton of stuff. I mean, just really right from the heart. And that's how you knew. We both were on the same level with each other. And I think 5 years later, we're still on the same level with each other. We'll see as time goes on. But yeah, that is the story. And thank you, Texter, for bringing it up. But that is the list. It's going viral. So maybe over the weekend, people are going to talk about this list that's going viral. You can now say, yes, Joe Beamer talked about it. He said this, but this is actually what I feel about it. Hey, I want to thank everyone for the calls and the texts. Brian is back tomorrow. I am gone the rest of the week, but please remember to listen to Hardline this Sunday, 10 o'clock. We have Mark Poloncarz for a full hour. 11, we have Chrissy Casilio for a full hour. Get those questions and anything you want me to ask both candidates, either candidate, at the Joe Beamer on Twitter. You can also message me on Facebook. You can also email me, jbeamer@odyssey.com. I hope you have a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. I will talk to you Sunday at 10 a.m. David Bellavia is next, followed by Tom Bowerly. Brian will be back tomorrow. Again, have a great weekend. Go Bills, go Hokies. I'll talk to you Sunday right here on News Radio 930 WBEN.